Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, this morning I share with you a message that was presented by Pastor Korhonen for Lutherans for Life. And Lutherans for Life, a great mission arm of our church in dealing with many life issues that we have to face in our culture today. And so throughout our synod today and many congregations, maybe even this very message will be shared. But we think about Ephesians as we have just heard it read a few moments ago, and Mr. Whitney sharing with us in a very visual way this morning. Imagine if we did not have the Word of God, especially in light of everything that's going on in the world. It's a pretty confusing place today if you don't have a solid foundation upon which to stand. Because life, as many of us know it, is under attack. Over 40 years ago now, our nation legalized the killing of babies in the womb with the whole Roe versus Wade. In several states now, people have been given the right to end their lives. So we look at the other end, scale of life at the other end. We see the devaluing of the elderly in light of these changes of philosophies and attitudes, and certainly that is escalating in our times. Marriage has been redefined by the U.S. Supreme Court, and now the sex one is born with is now even debatable. Even that is up for controversy and for change. Well, it shouldn't surprise us that these things are going on. Jesus warns us about it in the Good Shepherd chapter, John chapter 10, and he says these words, "The thief only comes to steal and kill and destroy." And the thief, of course, being Satan. Jesus goes on to say, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." And so today we can give thanksgiving and praise to Jesus, knowing that he unmasks for us what is happening in the world. He exposes sin and he reveals that there are really two opposing forces. And one is the culture of death and the other is the culture of life. Quite a contrast, isn't it? The world offers destruction, the unbelieving world. It offers destruction, but Jesus offers what? Abundant living. He is the Lord of life. And so you and I as Christians, with the Lord of life dwelling among us, and within us, we are really living on a battlefield. Have you ever thought about that? We're on a battlefield. It's like being that catcher, and you've got balls being thrown at you 90 mile an hour plus consistently, time and time again. And as Christians, we are being attacked time and time again by Satan and the unbelieving world in which we live. And so we need to be equipped in order to be able to defend ourselves against the schemes of the evil one, the devil. And so we must remember that Paul, as he writes under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is writing to the church at Ephesus. He's writing to believers, those who have the word of God. And so he exhorts the church then, as well as now, to stand and to stand firm. And the spiritual armor is available to us. And that's the important thing for us to know, absolutely, is that we have this armor. God provides it, but it does us no good if we don't put it on. If it's just piled up by the lectern like that and we go out the doors, it's not going to do us personally any good. And so, as Christians, we are blessed that God places this armor upon us. He makes it available to us, and oh, it's important that we see it because we have no strength of our own. In fact, verse 12 in our epistle text from Ephesians 6, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities. This sounds pretty serious, doesn't it? And boy, it's pretty overwhelming too when we consider our own personal strength. When we're talking about rulers and authorities, we are no match for the devil. We are no match for the devil by our own power and strength. We need the strength of another. And that's why the Lord, through Paul, this morning in this text, says, be strong in the Lord. There's the source of our strength. Be strong in the Lord. Because at the cross, our Lord Jesus Christ disarmed Satan. He defeated him. He has stripped from him the power that Satan would love to use to destroy the church. But the Lord shields his church. He has disarmed the devil. And you know, one of the greatest ways that the devil attempts to destroy you and me is through guilt and despair. Boy, he wants us to recall the sins that we have committed. He wants us to doubt whether God forgives us. He wants us to doubt the Lord's love for us. We need this armor so that we see Jesus' righteousness and his perfection and know that in him alone we are righteous and declared perfect by God. Be strong in the strength of his might, says the Apostle Paul. So be strong in the Lord and be strong in the strength of the Lord's might. Now, as we think of young people, and we had a lot of young people come up this morning, but even people in their teenage years, through those years of youth, and we consider how our children are being educated today in an unbelieving world. We need constantly to remind them of who they are in Christ. And for our younger people that are here with us this morning, you've got a whole different world that you're facing today than what we as parents or even grandparents had to deal with. And if there's ever a time to put on the armor of God, it is now, because the church and everything that our Lord has revealed to us is under attack. But then look at the resources that we have available to us. You know, when a nation goes to war, they consider the resources, right? They consider whether they have the weaponry and the firepower and the soldiers to be able to go and do battle. Well, we have resources. God has provided every resource that we need in order to go into this battle. And the resources, as God describes them to us, as we know as Lutherans, are his means of grace, his word, the holy inerrant Bible, and also his sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper. These are God's means through which he directly brings his love and his mercy to you and me. He doesn't communicate this just out there through the sky, but God comes to us in a very personal way through his written word and through baptism and through the Lord's Supper. And through these means, God equips us. Did you hear it in the text? You know, the sword, you saw it visualized on the screen. The sword of the Spirit we have in our hand. It is the Word of God. It's the Bible. And not only carrying a Bible around that we can refer to, but having it on our minds and in our hearts that we may not be able to quote it verbatim, but we know the truth and we can contend for that truth and be defended by it. And it's because of this that we need to stand up for what God says about life. Because life is being assaulted today. And we may think about the many mistakes that we've made in the past, and we've all made them. And for many of the men in this room, maybe in our younger years, played around in the devil's minefield sexually, and maybe some are still doing that today. And there's probably women in this room who have dealt with the abortion issue in the past. And maybe some still have that semblance of guilt that they carry around. But God doesn't want us to carry the guilt around. Did you hear it in the psalm this morning? As far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our past sin from us. We are forgiven. You heard it declared in the absolution again today. And we start anew. We are clean. We are cleansed by God. God says, He promises in His Word, whatever past sins we have, they are gone. And when Satan tries to bring those and hold them before us, we can see his scheme. We can see the lie and the deception. We can look at the cross and most of all at our Lord Jesus and know that we are forgiven. To know Jesus is our righteousness. He alone makes us right with God. And not only has God given us His Word, but He's given us the powerful, visible means to remind us that we are His forgiven creatures. We have been baptized, and in that baptism, we died to sin by the power of God. We have been resurrected, and through that resurrection, we have been given new life. And so in this new life, we can stand by faith because we have this intimate relationship with the Lord of life, our Lord Jesus Christ. And so when you are with others and life issues come up, you don't have to hide under the table, but you can speak out in love very boldly. And we need not fear because the Lord of life is present within us. He is here. You know, last week we celebrated Epiphany, and last week we focused upon that theme of Epiphany, of showing forth. And I mentioned that we're really the walking Epiphany as Christ dwells within us, as we have His Word. When we go forth out into the world, we are showing forth, or we should, who Christ is. And the marvelous blessings that He gives. We represent Christ. We represent the truth. And do you think the world needs that? Boy, it's deceived. Who is the prince of this earth? It's Satan. And certainly he's having a heyday in the education system of what he wants to be have presented and promoted. And through the Lord's Supper, again, we need to receive it often because through it, where you receive the guarantee. As Satan throws those arrows at us saying, oh no, God doesn't love you, you need to remember that past sin. We come to the Lord's Supper and God says, here's my guarantee. You can even see it and taste it and touch it. Here is my guarantee that I love you. It's my very body and blood that I shed for you. So look away from Satan. Do not continue to focus on the lies and the deception. We are in battle, but we have the armor of God. And in that, we are required to stand. But you know, a really cool thing about the armor of God, there's no missing parts. Everything that you and I need to function as God's people in this life, He supplies to us. Did you hear the word full? It's emphasized in this text. To put on the full armor of God. Take up the full armor of God. And so we hear, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith. And Dan, maybe if you could put that on the screen, it's good to visualize it again. With which you extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Wow, that's a lot. God says here, here's your armor. I provide it to you. You don't have to go out and buy it. It's here. It's available to you. The only thing we can do is refuse to wear it because the Lord already supplies it. Can you imagine how vulnerable this soldier would be if he said, that's all kind of a encumbrance to me. I'm just going to lay it all down and go into battle without any of that. Wouldn't work out so well, would it? Well, I wonder if we ever do that, parents, grandparents, with our kids and our grandkids. In our failure to emphasize to them the necessity of the armor. You know, we tell our children that, you know, you've been baptized, you've been brought into the kingdom of God, you have been given new life, but how often do we share with our kids about the battle and about the necessity of the armor? You know, we live in a time of relativism. Our kids are being taught there is no absolute truth. Whatever is true for you, that works for you. And nobody should be able to criticize you or confront you on that because that is truth for you. That's what's being taught today. And we see how it's destroying life in so many facets. We have absolute truth. Do our kids know the truth? Teach them what the truth is in the midst of the news that they hear today. Teach them how to deal with a suggestive billboard. And those are all over the place. And billboards are nothing. Just look at the internet now. You can just be at a news site. And there's all kinds of suggestive advertisements that are there. Father, instruct your boys to not go there, to turn away and avoid those things. We as parents have a significant piece in this. But if we're quiet and we don't reveal the battle or the armor of God, we're sending our kids out just like this soldier would go out into war without the armor. Who would want to do that to their child? We also must realize that this armor comes from God. Have you ever thought about that? It comes from God. And it's been tested. That's pretty cool. And the one who tested it is our Lord Jesus Christ. When he came in the flesh, and remember right after Jesus was baptized, he went out into the wilderness for those 40 days and nights, was severely tempted by Satan. And what did Jesus use as weaponry against Satan? It is written. That's awesome because he is God in the flesh. He didn't have to use the written word. But the Lord is demonstrating for you and me to go to his written word. The same resource Jesus used and confronted Satan, and Satan had to leave his presence, is the word that you and I have in our presence still this very day. It's been tested. Every time Jesus said it is written, Satan had to leave. He couldn't confront that. He could try, but it was a losing game for Satan. And it's this word that we learn how God values life. When he created life in the beginning, he said it is good. When he created Adam and Eve, he said it is very good. God is the Lord of life, and he honors the life that he gives you and me. Who would have ever thought that such fundamental issues of life would ever be doubted? The value of a little baby, the value of somebody quite elderly. But we're there today. It's the schemes of Satan. Did you hear that word in the text, schemes? Boy, that ought to get our attention. This isn't like Satan just saying, oh, let's see, what am I going to do today? I'll make up something. I got to be doing something. No, he's a schemer. He's a strategist. And boy, does he put together strategies And it's not arbitrary. It's important to know your enemy because he has well-calculated schemes. And I challenge you just to think about your past and just think of the ways that Satan has used schemes in your life. They're very evident in the midst of all of our lives. You know, it's kind of the difference. I think a lot of times we see Satan like the backyard football team. You know, a bunch of kids get together in the neighborhood and they say, hey, let's go play football. And they don't have a playbook. They have nothing. They just get together in the huddle. Okay, here's what we're going to do. And they do it. Do you think that would work today for the Packers as they play Luke? Oh, yeah, we'll just make it up today. We don't need to study the film of the Cowboys. Nah, you know, you guys just go out, drink beer all week, have a good time. We'll show up Sunday morning and get ready, and then we'll go out on the field. How do you think that would work out? Not so good, would it? Boy, have you ever watched some of the shows? I mean, it's intense today. Sitting down with different facets of the team, looking at film, noticing if a guy flinches his leg a certain way, that's a sign he's going to do a certain thing. I mean, this is study, study, study for the whole week. And for some of these teams, knowing they're coming up, they prepare for them in months in advance. Every player. It's very detailed. It's a very pronounced scheme and strategy. Oh, if we would see this battle in the way that the NFL does. To recognize Satan performs like the NFL. We need the armor and to put it on. And of course, the last but not least is prayer. That we are in prayer together. Boy, the book of Daniel is a fascinating book on prayer. And Daniel, many times, going to the Lord in prayer. And in that, you see the battle that he was going through, living in a strange land, in a heathen land in Babylon. But we hear in Daniel, and it's in chapter 10 where you can read this. Upon Daniel praying, an angel comes to him and says, "Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard. And I have come because of your words." I'd say that's pretty powerful, wouldn't you? How often are you in prayer? And I ask myself the same thing. And we would probably admit, boy, I don't think I'm probably in prayer as much as I should be. How often are we as a congregation, as the family of Trinity, in prayer, or the other congregations represented this morning? We need each other. We need to be in prayer together and to stand. And not just stand, but stand firm. That's what the Lord calls us to do. And we can, because we're on the solid ground of His truth. We have the armor. Who wants to go against that? I don't think I would. But that's us, as long as we have the armor of God. In closing, St. Augustine once quoted these words when he was tempted to plunge into his old sinful life, and he would pray, he would say, "Don't you know you are carrying God around with you?" Have you ever thought about that? That's a neat statement. Don't you know you're carrying God around with you? How powerful. Oh, how the believer in Christ needs to know and trust and believe that Christ, the Lord of life, lives within us. Our life is no longer ours. It's Jesus who dwells within us. We live in the midst of a battle between the culture of death and the culture of life, but stand firm in Christ, where abundant life has always been and will always be. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds always in Christ Jesus. our Lord, who dwells within us now and tomorrow and forevermore. Amen.